to, where should we go? Let's go to the third epistle of John. We're nearly done with this series, but let me do a quick recap. We've been speaking for about 20 years now. No. Actually, about 10 weeks, I think, on the theme of foundations, the foundations of our Christian life. And I know I've said this before, but let me take 2 minutes and say it again. Storms don't destroy houses, foundations do. And we're all going to go through storms. And any time you ever see anybody present the gospel in some manner like, come to Jesus and you'll never have a problem. Come to Jesus and it's all a bed of roses. Come to Jesus and, you know, frankly, I think you might have more problems if you come to Jesus. Yeah? I like to say there are two times in life when Satan will try to attack you, when you're in the will of God and when you're out of the will of God. I mean, like a roaring lion, he's always out there roaring, seeking those whom he may devour. I can't stop Satan seeking those he may devour. What I can do is make my life lion-proof. I can say, you're not devouring me. Come on, you missed a chance to say amen then. He's not going to devour me. And sometimes, I never try to be rude doing this, but sometimes somebody will mention a terrible disease or whatever, and I always say internally, or at least if I can externally, I'm never going to have that. Amen. Thanks, Matt. Come on, there are times to declare some things. One of my favorite chapters in the Bible is Deuteronomy 28. Don't go there, but in the first 14 verses, it lists all the blessings that would come on the people of Israel. And then for about 60 verses, it lists all the curses. Now, I'm a little weird. Say amen. I like the curses better than the blessings. The reason I like them, I love reading through the curses and going, I'll never have that, and I'll never have that, and I'm redeemed from that, and that doesn't belong to me, and nope, I'm never going to have that one. Oh, thank God. Ooh, I'm never going to have that one. Who knew there was so? Nope. I have written across the top of my Bible there a sermon I heard years ago from a guy called Terry Mize that says, Jesus reversed the curse. Galatians 3:13. And I actually love reading the curses and going, nope. It might come near me, but only with my eyes will I see it happen. Nope. And you can live curse-free. Come on, let me see. You guys are very quiet. I need to warm you up again, don't I? After three. I said, you can live curse-free. Maybe this is treading on a toe, but that's okay. One of the biggest, probably the biggest doorway to having a curse in your life is believing that you can have a curse in your life. Once you have faith in curses, then there's an open door there. I didn't say they have no power. I just said they have no power over me. And you, if you'll believe. I believe in the blessing more than anything else. Come on, do you remember Balaam and Balak? Balaam is this prophet, but he's like a prophet for hire kind of thing, and he gets commissioned to put a curse on the people of God. And he really tries his best. But when he comes to the people of God, every time he blesses them. And in the end, God shows him, this people are so blessed, you can't curse them. Come on, you missed a good opportunity to say, that's me. So we've been talking about foundations, just some of the foundational parts of the Christian life. And what I'd like to do today is something, in one sense, I want to talk about healing, but more than that, I want to talk about God's will for your body. If you will, just turn to your neighbor and give them like a gentle, polite prod. Check if they're alive. Check they have a body. We don't want any disembodied people in the room. And in a moment, we're going to read from the third epistle of John. But come on, let me challenge you. Think this through with me a second. I think God is interested in our bodies. Agree? Well, one of the very first errors or lies that came into Christianity. You literally see it circulating around the time, you know, the apostles were living and writing is a belief called Gnosticism. And it's kind of complicated, but what Gnosticism basically taught is the spirit is good, but everything physical, including the body, is evil. And then people started teaching, well, if that's true, then Jesus actually didn't come in a physical body. He just looked as if he did. Come on, have you ever read those verses where John says, anybody denying that Jesus came in the flesh, that's like Antichrist? And that's the error he was coming against. He begins his first epistle by saying, that which we have seen, that which we have touched and handled concerning the word of life. He was saying Jesus was real. He wasn't a ghost. He didn't float in. When he died, he really died. When they put nails in him, they split his wrist. It was real. It actually happened. And so often, like all errors do, errors kind of go away, recycle themselves, and come back. It's like political errors. You know, every 20 years, Marxism comes back in a new package. And every college kid thinks it's really cool and nobody's ever heard of it before. Sorry. I love college kids, but sorry. And come on, here's what I think sometimes we hear that idea, well, God's interested in spiritual things, but material things, no. Can I tell you, God's interested in every part of your life? Say that again. God's interested in every part of your life. And God is interested in your finances. He's interested in your marriage, your kids, your home, the car you drive. And he's really actually interested in your body. And I think at times some of us, we get that revelation, well, my body's, you know, won't be here in 100 years' time and it's going back to the earth. Oh, it's just my old body or whatever. Do you know, God made your body. And God loves your body. Really does, especially butts. And of course, this sin, and we're living in the fall, and we all sort of, it's like our bodies bear the effects of that fall. But even yet, the glory of God is in our body. And I want to challenge you today. I think we all know this, but it's good to lay it out. God has a plan for your body. Now, the really great news is, come on, we're spirit, soul, and body. God's already transformed your spirit. You've got a brand new spirit now. Your spirit right now, it looks exactly like Jesus. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. You and Jesus, you're joined, you're already married spiritually with him. You're perfect, you're righteous, you're holy, you've got his nature. Spiritually, you've arrived. Your soul is a mess. No, joking. Come on, your soul isn't yet born again. Your soul is working out that salvation. You're renewing your mind. You're practicing to take the right choices. You're letting your emotions experience God, but not let them rule the roost and dominate who you are. And in a way, most of the work we need to do as Christians, none of it's a spiritual work. The main work of the Christian is to get the realities that we have in the spirit working in our soul. It's to come to God's word, and God's word says, I am righteous. And now I need to learn to think righteous, to practice righteous, to choose righteousness. 1 Corinthians 15:34 says, awake to righteousness and you won't sin. Ephesians 4:23-24 says, put on the new man, created after him in righteousness and true holiness by being renewed in your mind. And there's a work for us to do, and most of our work is in that soulish realm of learning, not striving for, I'm not working for my salvation, but I'm working out my salvation. I'm taking God's word and letting him, you know, the Lord says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, my ways are not your ways. If you want to walk in the ways of God, you need to learn to think the thoughts of God. Hallelujah. And what we've got to learn to do is not try to change our ways. I'm trying to be a good bunny, a good person. How many of you have tried to be good? How's it going, Robin? Yeah, I do. And the more you try to be good, it's like playing whack-a-mole, isn't it? You do really well here, and suddenly, like, all this carnality just creeps out here. And God doesn't say, try to be good. He says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. He says, my thoughts aren't your thoughts. My ways aren't your ways, but they can be. Take my thoughts. The very next verse, that's Isaiah 55, says, so is my word that comes down from heaven. It's like the rain that comes down, goes down the hillside, the river, into the sea, and then evaporates. It won't return void. And our main challenge is to learn to think the thoughts of God, to renew our soul, to have our soul transformed. But that's not where I want to go today. What about our body?
Body. Hallelujah.
Come on, I want to give you a quick theology of our body. I mean, let's start at the end. Number one, I said God's already, we've got a born-again spirit. We're working on a kind of born-again soul. It's called sanctification. It's having the world. Jesus says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. John 17:17. And each and every day, come on, Peter said in 2 Peter 1, having these great and precious promises, the word of God, let us separate ourselves from the corruption in the world through lust, through evil desires. And through these promises, we take on the nature of God. That's a process or a process. Everybody say process. I was in Canada. They say process as well. Process. Come on, that's a process. We're going to be walking through the rest of our lives. But what's God's plan for our body? You know, it's a really simple answer. Jesus is the firstborn amongst many brethren. How many of you know John 3:16? For God so loved the world, he gave his. Awesome. Do you know Jesus is no longer the only begotten Son of God? He was the only begotten Son of God when the Father gave him. He's no longer the only begotten Son of God. He's the firstborn amongst many brethren. Hallelujah. He went first. He was like the Joseph in a way who made a way for the brethren to follow. And now we are where there's billions of, the Bible says it's the church of the firstborn. And Jesus is gone. Where Jesus has gone, we will go to. Right now, Jesus has a body. Come on, let's just think. He's not a ghost. He can walk through walls. He can go to Canada without sitting in an airport for hours. Hallelujah. But right now, Jesus has got a body. When he rose from the dead, he came to his disciples. You remember Thomas said, no, I want to touch you. I want to know this is not some apparition. And Jesus is like, handle me. A spirit has not flesh and bone, not flesh and blood, because his blood had been poured out on the altar of heaven, but flesh and bone, as you see. Right now, Jesus has a glorified body. And here's the good news. If you're in Christ Jesus, you are going to pick up a glorified body real soon. I know, I can't wait, can you? The older we get, the better it looks. You are going to be eternally 25 or ish. Do I get a witness? Yeah, no aches, no pains, no glasses, no, just, yeah. Your body is going to be glorified. What does that mean? Like literally the glory of God is going to flow through your body. Hallelujah. Won't that be so cool? You know, if you read testimonies of people who like, you know, maybe die in an accident, go to heaven and come back. Nobody wants to come back. You see the same thing. They're always arguing like, Lord, I don't want to. I love my wife and kids. Like, no, can I stay? And sometimes the Lord's like, no, I've got something for you to do, but nobody wants to come back. Paul said, we who are in this tabernacle do groan. It's like, we can't wait. But I want you to see that. We're not going to sit around in heaven like a vapor just floating around, watering, I was about to say pot plants. That's a British thing. Potted plants. In England, we call them pot plants, which means a plant in a pot. I learned the hard way that a pot plant means a different thing in America than it does in England. I have many potted plants, but no pot plants. Hi, YouTube. Come on, my point is heaven's real. I want you to see that. It's more real than we're. The people in heaven look at us and think, we're the shadow. We're real, but not that real. We're the fading away thing. That's reality. And for all eternity, whether that's we die and meet Jesus that way or he returns, we're going to have that wonderful glorified body. But my question is more this. What's God's plan for your body right here and right now? And I want to read a few, really three scriptures today. But I'm going to begin in the third epistle of John. The third, come on, this is John the Apostle. This is the guy probably who was closer to Jesus than anybody. You've heard of the My Pillow guy? This guy used Jesus as a pillow. I mean, Peter walking on water, great things. James and John, fire from heaven. Judas, money. This is the disciple Jesus loves. That's what he called himself. This guy chose to like sleep with his head on Jesus. Not in some weird, you know, way the world would see, but just pure love and affection. This is the guy who wrote the book of Revelation. Yeah, I'm just simply saying he may know what he's talking about. Is that possible? Polycarp, the disciple of Timothy, and this is not in the Bible, but most people think this is true, said that the apostle Paul came to Ephesus for 2 years and taught the word of God, the word of God, the word of God. It's like he broke the power of the domination. There was a big temple in Ephesus where they worshipped Diane. Aphrodites, and the Bible says that several years after Paul left, John came with Mary, the mother of Jesus. Remember, son, your mother, your son? And history says that the apostle John came in on his first day in the city. He walked right into the temple, right to the front, and just cursed this statue, and it smashed into pieces and fell. And they turned the building into a church. That's what this guy is talking about. I just want you to know his resume, okay? This isn't some guy who started a show on TV and he's selling you one of his anointed socks for a $42 offering. Come on, let's read. 3 John 2, the elder. Let me just pause. This is an elder. This is not a novice. This is one of the elders. This is one of the apostles of the Lamb. Okay? To the beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Now, I don't want to rewrite the Bible in any way, but the same John, I quoted it earlier, said in John 17:17, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. In a very real way, every time you see the word truth, you could interchange it with the word or word of God. I'm not saying you have to do that, but sometimes if you want to have fun, read it that way. To the beloved Gaius, whom I love in the word. Beloved, I pray. Just pause a sec. If anybody's got a different Bible translation, like the old King James says, I wish. Now, I love the King James, but if you look in your margin, you'll see the word prayer. The reason I say that is these apostles of the Lamb didn't go around making wishes, dropping pennies down wells and wishing on a sunset and wishing on a wishing well and whatever. These were men of prayer. When this guy says, I pray something, he's not just throwing away some random prayer. And he says, I pray above all things that you would prosper. Say prosper. It's not a dirty word. Prosper and be in health. Say in health. Just as your soul prospers. For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Let me just rewrite that if I can in the Graham Revised Version. I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the word that is in you, just as you walk in the word. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the word of God. Does that feel good? Again, nearly done there, but can I say that this same John wrote in 1 John 5:14, this is the confidence, say confidence. This is the confidence we have in him. If we ask anything, say anything, according to his will, we know we have our petitions granted. 1 John 5:14. John, it's like John's answering question. Can you ask anything in prayer? No. You can ask anything according to his will. So here's my point. When John prays a prayer, you can pretty much say he's not going to pray a prayer that isn't according to his will. When you read John's prayers, they're not random prayers. They're according to his will prayers. And I just want to set it up like that. John says, my highest, greatest wish is that you prosper. Does that mean, people say, it doesn't mean finance. I think it does, but I think it means more than that. I think it means everything. I think it means do well in life. And some of that's, frankly, finance is the least thing. It's not the most important thing. You can have $1 million and be miserable as sin. Yeah. But can I tell you, if you have $0, you're probably going to be miserable as well. Like if you have to fast today because you can't afford lunch, that's not a great place to be as well. And John here, I want you to see this. I believe he's praying the will of God. He says, I want you to prosper. I want you to be in health. And then he says, even as. In French, he says, dans la mesure que, to the measure that your soul prospers. So how do we get a prosperous soul? Ooh, if only John had told us. He has in the next verse, I have no greater joy than to see that my children in the Lord, walk in the truth. How do you get a prosperous soul? You walk in the word. You walk in the truth. You walk this out. You let this live out. So here's my challenge to you. What is God's will for our body? Now, I know this is controversial for some people. I've met very few Christians who don't believe that God can heal somebody. I mean, in a way, if he's God, he obviously can heal people. He could heal somebody. Agreed? I don't think I've ever met anybody who says God can't heal anybody. Agreed? Our biggest challenge is, I think there are millions of Christians who say, well, God can heal somebody. God could heal somebody. God might heal somebody. But you never quite know who it is. You never quite know. Sometimes he says yes. Sometimes he says no. Come on, be honest. Have you heard that teaching? Do you know, again, just track with me. Don't check out, guys. But the biggest challenge people have is people get so emotionally attached or emotionally invested in that teaching that they will fight for the right to defend it. And at times, if you could show them, clearly here's what the Bible says, again and again and again. And the problem is, there is a place where we've so invested our emotions in this theory you don't see in the Bible that we won't let go. We're like the monkey with the hand of the jar of peanuts. You know the story? And it's like, I'm not letting go of this. But I thank God nobody like that is here this morning. Come on, here is my challenge for you. I passionately believe God wants you and I to have a healthy body. And again, I want to put some qualifiers. Am I saying you'll never be attacked by sickness? No, I think you probably will be. If you take a stand and say, I'm going to believe God for health, watch out. I'm not saying you'll never be attacked. I want to be clear. Number one. Number two, am I saying that we will live, okay, we're going to live in hell. Will we live in forever in these bodies? No, our bodies are going to die. You know, I passionately believe, and I've seen that many times, that you can go home to heaven in a good, healthy body. And I'm not saying you won't get older and have wrinkles, or, you know, the more mileage you put on your car, you can generally tell. Sorry. When I was in high school, I once had a summer job selling cars. It's a really great training for the ministry. And I remember on my first day, like, you know, we'd be selling cars, we'd bring cars in part exchange. I remember this guy telling me, he said, Graham, you know, sometimes people will, especially back in the days, people would wind back the clock on a car to lower the mileage. Yeah? Did Americans do that? Or these days, you probably need to be a computer hacker to do it. But this guy said to me, Graham, never look at the clock. Just look. He said, somebody can wind back a clock with a screwdriver, but you can't wind back the amount of time somebody's feet have been on the floor, kind of just the wear and tear in the car. He said, you'll always see. He said, I'm not impressed by what I see there. I want to look at everything else. Does the interior of the car match what's going on there? And my point is, we're all clocking at miles. Agreed? And your body, God has never promised you that this body you have will live eternally. But I think God, we have a good Father, and I think God wants his people to experience health. And I think you can go home in a good, healthy body. And I encourage you at times, read some of the saints. Read people like Smith Wigglesworth. He died in a church. I think he was 87. I think he preached a sermon, went back in, had a cup of tea, put a big smile on his face, boom, Kenneth Hagin, I think if I have that right, he got up one morning, had his favorite breakfast and announced to his family, I'm going to heaven today. Hallelujah. And come on, what I actually want to say, and I actually think this is so spiritual, don't accept the lie that you have to spend the rest of your life being chased around by this condition, that condition. And your body's there to serve you, not you to serve it. Your body is a servant. And the most important thing, I think God's got a mission and a calling for every one of our life. And he doesn't actually want us to spend all of our life, our time, our money, chasing around aches and pains and this broken thing or that broken thing. I'm not condemning anybody, but I actually think the Lord can, the goal is not to have a healthy body. The goal is to have a body that's a good servant so you can do what God's called you to do. You can be what God's called you to be. And I just want to set out a few things. How can we know God's will for health and healing? Do you know, I've heard 100 answers in my life, and I've only ever been satisfied with one. I have met so many people, and maybe you're here today or you're watching this or listening later, and you say, Graham, God heals some people and doesn't heal others. I would lovingly challenge you, can you show me that in the Bible? Can you show me that in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? And I came to a conclusion many years ago that served me really well. The only way of knowing God's will is looking at Jesus. And there's a sort of an idea in the body of Christ that whatever happens is God's will. If something happens, well, it must have been the will of God. Can I tell you, some things that happen are the will of God. Some things that happen are the will of Satan. Some things that happen are just coincidence. People say, God opened a door. Do you know the wind blows doors open? In my house, people leave doors open. Sometimes. I mean, not everything that happens is God's will. If I had a cup of coffee in my hand and I suddenly tripped coffee all over the floor and I stood there, God has a purpose. I wonder what this means. Yes. Maybe he's trying to teach me something. Yes, don't bring coffee in the sanctuary, you know. All right, I think what a lot of us do is we look at what happens to ourselves, we look at what happens to others, and then we figure out that must be the will of God. Some people are healed, some people, oh, that must be the will of God. I think we need the humility to go back and actually look at Jesus. Jesus is the only place we see the perfect will of God. Jesus says, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. John 14. John 12. John 14. Yeah. He says, John 10 verse 30, I and the Father are one. He says in John 1, nobody's ever seen the Father, but the only begotten Son has declared him unto us. He said in John 6, I didn't come to do my will, but the will of him who sent me. He says in Colossians 1:15, Jesus is the image of the invisible God. The only way you can know God's will is looking at Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And I challenge you, if just lovingly, I used to think that way, but if you believe Jesus heals some and says no to others, then read the Gospels. Be a Berean. Let your Bible do the hard work. Find out what the Bible really says. And I want to move on and talk about how we step into this, but I think it's powerful to actually have a vision that God wants you to live in a healthy body for the rest of your life. Again, am I saying you're never going to be attacked? No, you probably will. Am I saying you'll never be tested? No, you probably will. Let me ask you let's go on a little side trip. How many of you believe that God wants you to sin today? See that hat? No. How many of you believe God wants you to sin for the rest of your life? It's good. I'm so glad. Nobody responded. Were you scratching your nose there, Carol? No. Right. How many of you believe that it's possible you might sin today? How many of you believe it's probable even you might sin sometime in the rest of your life? Are we okay? So, God's will, here's where we are. Now imagine if I came and I said, guys, I've been looking at my life. And I keep sinning, so I've decided it's God's will that I sin. I've decided that I should determine God's will on sin and righteousness by looking at my life or the life of others. No. What we should do is what Paul does. Paul deals with this in Philippians. He says, I'm striving for the mark of the high call of God in Christ Jesus. Paul said, Jesus is here. He says, I haven't yet attained. But this one thing I do, I press. I forget yesterday. I let the blood of Jesus wash my yesterdays away. And every day, I put my eyes on the mark of Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I'm not following Billy Graham, Benny Hinn, you know, John Wesley. I mean, a million great, wonderful people, I'm not criticizing, were followers of Jesus. And I think it's so easy. I've never met anybody who'd say, well, God wants us to sin because sin happens. Rather, we develop that thing that says, no, we've got to not so much fight sin, but we've got to press. We've got to not give in to it. We've got to not assume that's God's will. We've got to say, every day I'm stepping more and more into the will of God. I haven't yet attained, but the Lord will perfect that which concerns me. And I think in the same way, we should look at health that way. Do you know Jesus was healthy every day? Do you know he never took a day off? You ever thought that? Can you imagine Jesus coming down the mountain one day? Sorry, I can't minister today. Sick as a dog. Have you ever thought about it? Jesus should have been the sickest person in Israel for at least 3.5 years. Because every day, people would come. Thousands of sick people would surround him. He'd get up in the morning and like lepers would be like... People are coughing and spitting on him, and yes, I apologize, gross, but that's the reality of it. You know, here's what's really great. Jesus didn't catch what they got. They caught what he got. Yeah.
You say, show me that in the Bible.
I'm glad you asked. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And the greater one lives inside of us. Paul said in Romans 8:10 that if the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, he will give Zoe life to your mortal body, your flesh. And my challenge to you is not to say, never to condemn yourself, or especially don't condemn anybody else. And nobody should ever judge anybody. But that we should be believing for health for our bodies. And at times it's really hard because when your body's sick, you know it. Is that true? When your body's in pain, it lets you know. Tiny little pain in your toe can spoil your whole day, can't it? Yeah. And I'll get to this just in a moment, how we appropriate this, how we step into these things. But I think we should have this vision. Lord, by your grace, I'm going to live in hell for the rest of my life. Not condemning anybody, not belittling anybody. If somebody's struggling that, what we should do is go and say, hey, I'm going to team up with you and help you, and I'm going to yoke my faith with yours and stand in the gap and just keep believing for that. But what we can't do is what the evangelical church in America has done for so long, is we lowered the bar of Jesus. We just lower it down and down and down and down and down. Hallelujah. And there is something glorious. I was with some wonderful friends in Canada, and hi guys, if you're watching, and I don't want to even say all of their testimony publicly, but they went through one of the most terrific things a family could ever go through, of losing a child. And, you know, I was just a little bit on the periphery, kind of praying that I didn't really know these guys. And the reason I love them is they took the pain that I can't imagine, I can't comprehend, I can't empathize with. I can empathize, but I can't sympathize because I've never been through that, and by God's grace, I never will. But they took all of that pain and anguish and questions, and in a way, didn't fill the gap between what they saw in the Bible and what their experience was with some goofy excuse to explain something away. It's like they went on a crazy, passionate pursuit of the real Jesus. And the reason I love these guys, we did a healing service, you know, but every day we were there, everywhere we go, they want to heal the sick. They want to proclaim that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's never changed. He's risen with healing in his wings. And I love that thing. Even, do you know, the greatest revenge you can ever get against Satan is to take the things you've walked through and you're going to proclaim them loud and clear and strong, and you're not backing down, and you're not backing down. Come on. Jesus is who he says he is. I don't think he's changed. I think the church has changed. And I think we've got to, here's my quick suggestion to you. Number one, get a vision of you living the rest of your life. Again, prosperous. To me, that doesn't mean rich and you got to have a private jet and a million things. It means money is your servant, not your master. For the rest of my life, I want to serve God and bless my family and do whatever. And money, I couldn't give a rip. It shouldn't be important. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all you need will be there when you need it. All these things will be added. That's prosperity. Prosperity is to be able to go anywhere, any place, any time to serve King Jesus. Where money's the servant. And I think God wants your body to be that way as well. Where it serves him. Come on, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6, glorify God in your bodies, which are the Lord's. Do you know your body belongs to God? Your soul belongs to you. Every time you see the word soul, you'll hear this, like, what would it profit a man if he lose the world and gain the world and lose his own soul? Your soul is yours. You see these commandments, you possess your soul in patience. You sanctify, you renew your mind, you do this. Your body, it's been bought with a price. It belongs to God. So what does God want from our bodies? Come on, number one, the Bible said we should present our bodies back to the Lord. Lord, this is your body. And I think at times we think it's ours. Come on, I think it's a great thing. I don't mean in a religious way, but every day maybe remind the Lord, I don't have a pain in my toe. Lord, this is your toe. It's your body. Amen? Come on, number two, the Bible speaks specifically about sins that we should keep from our body. Most importantly, sexual sins. And I'm sure everybody here has sinned or got something wrong. And they're like, grace, grace, grace. That's what the blood of Jesus washes. But we should have this strong commitment to walk in holiness and to not allow our temple to be defiled. I'm not judging anybody, not blaming, but I'm saying, come on, his mercies are new every morning. And get a vision of living a clean, healthy life in your body. Come on, number three, I know this is boring and simple, but there's a lot of practical things we should do with our body. Put good gasoline in your body. I mean, food. You know, don't believe God to heal you if you eat junk all the time. And I think what we eat, I think what we exercise, I think just rest and sleep are really spiritual things. If we'll take care of the natural, God will take care of the supernatural. And I think at times, some of us more than others, need to come and say, Lord, give me your wisdom. Show me how to manage me. Show me how to navigate life. Show me how to navigate lifestyle, travel, different things. Lord, give me wisdom. And there's a danger there. I think in the world, some people go so far on that they can't hardly eat anything, or they get so... Come on, God's made your body pretty tough, you know. And you don't need to be that maniacal. I can't, you know, but take care. Pray over what you eat. Pray whether you should eat it. Pray about eating it. Get rest. Put your body in a bed and lay it down for 7 hours a day. It's amazing what will happen. You know, I don't mean to be pressing people's buttons saying here. You know, Christians have argued for years, can Christians drink alcohol? And have, you know, I love you all and everybody can do whatever. I think people have got to work things out in their own head with God. But one thing I've learned is your body works an awful lot better when you don't. I'm not putting that as thou shalt not. I am completely free from any thou shalt not drink alcohol law. What I've learned, though, is for me, anyway, life goes much better. I sleep really well. Oh, dear. I think Leah and I were married, I would probably drink like a bottle of Coke a day, like maybe 2 liters or something. Was it something like that, yeah? I don't think I ever drank water. Water. So when we go to a restaurant, my kids like ask for water, W-A-T-E-R, and we'll usually get some waiter or waitress going, I'm sorry. We're like, some water? Beg your pardon? Water? And then we respell it, W-A-D-D-D-D-D-E-R, water. Oh, a glass of water. But I've learned the benefit of drinking water. Come on, here's my point. Do natural things, but let's talk about how do we receive health from God. Come on, I'm nearly done here, guys, but I want you to catch me. I think there's something better than being healed. Here's the challenge for most of us. Whenever to be healed, you need to be sick. Yeah? And the problem for most of us is when we're sick, our bodies are borderline screaming at us. They're like, I've got this pain here. It's real. They speak to us. Can I suggest to you the best time to believe for God for health is when there's nothing wrong with you, when you feel absolutely great. The best time to buy fire insurance is not when your house is on fire. It's when everything's great. And I believe no matter how young you are, how old you are, wherever you're at, yesterday's gone. But believe God for health. And begin to build your faith up for that now. Begin to deposit God's word in your heart. And begin to believe for a good, healthy body. Begin to believe that wherever you are, like Jesus, you don't catch what they've got. They catch what you've got. I mean, I don't mean to re-dig up the whole COVID thing. And, you know, it worries me we've learned so little from that. You know, as a nation as well. Again, here's my only comment about that. The way fear gets into people's hearts. Fear controls people. Fear is torment. And I think God wants us to live fear-free. That doesn't mean we do stupid things. There's common sense. But God wants to take fear out of you. And I think we even have a medical industry in America that's every third commercial seems to be about some medication. And it's like we need to keep telling people you're going to have this problem so we can sell you a pill to solve it. And then at the end of every commercial, for the last 5 seconds, you know when it gets really fast? This will kill you. You'll have diarrhea, headaches, your leg will fall off. How do they manage to get some like lovely, you know, picture of this beautiful couple walking hand in hand on a beach? And then at the end, it's going to kill you. Your leg's going to fall off. You're going to go blind, deaf, dumb. I've got nothing against the medical. Well, not that much against the medical industry. But my point is, begin to believe God for health now. How do we do that? I'll give you 2 or 3 pointers and we're going to have some lunch. But come on, number one, I really believe this. But do the due diligence to find it out for yourself. I believe Jesus took every sickness and every disease on the cross of Calvary. And all of the discussion about who's got a healing gift and an anointing and all of that kind of becomes irrelevant when you see the cross is the place God took it all. And I believe every cold, every COVID, every cancer got dealt with on the cross of Calvary. Come on, he took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Matthew 8:17. Isaiah looked forward 500 years and said, by his stripes we are healed. Peter looked back, but 50 years after the event, says, by his stripes we were healed. Hallelujah. And I believe passionately with every part of my being, Jesus took those things on the cross. That means anything you might be walking through in your body or ever would walk through, Jesus dealt with it. God looks at that and goes, I paid for that. I paid for that. You don't need to pay for it. God doesn't want us to pay for the same thing twice. Come on. Number one, he dealt with it. Number two, we've got to learn to receive by faith. And how do we do that? Again, John told us here, really. He said, I've got no greater delight than to see my children walk in the truth or walk in the word. The Bible says the tongue of the righteous is health. And I think what we've got to start doing is setting a course with the rudder of our tongue. James talked about the tongue being like the rudder of a ship that sets a course. And what most of us have done without really thinking about it, we've grown up in a world, it's funny, in a culture, we all repeat things. It's funny, you go to some different cultures and they say different things. And you get around different. It's amazing the way a culture is like a sort of joint mind in a way. And we go to France and French have a certain outlook that's very different to Americans. Linda, Steve, you guys were in Japan, was it? Yeah. I've never been there, but Japanese people are really different probably than Americans. Yeah. And we just think differently. We have things set up. And we need to learn to think in the way heaven thinks. And I think a part of that is you and I setting that course and saying, Lord, this is your body. I present it to you, and I'm going to believe you for health for the rest of my days. And that we begin to speak that out. The tongue of the righteous is health. The Lord said to the people of Israel, as you have spoken in my hearing, so will I do to you. And I tell you, no matter what's gone on in the past, now's the day to say, with long life, he will satisfy me and show me his salvation. I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. Come on, stop believing God for a good, healthy body. You know, you're going through winter. Oh, it's the flu. Everybody's going to catch the flu. No. Everybody except me and Kathy. Oh, sorry. Yeah, that's the time to start drawing the lines. You know, I think, you may think that's weird, but it's good to speak to your body. Speak to it. Because if you don't, it will speak to you. And I think what we've got to do, here's what I really want you to catch, is learn to receive, like as a positional truth, God's health. You receive it by health in your faith, not in your experience. And that means even when there's still pain or discomfort in your body, you can come to the Lord and say, Lord, I believe based on your promises alone for health for my body. Lord, I believe I'm going to serve you with a good, strong, healthy body all the days of my life. I believe I'm going to sleep well. I'm going to eat well. Lord, I believe you give me the strength to do the things you called me to do. I will run and not be weary. I will walk and not faint. Thank you, Lord. And it's like we keep the thermometer, if you will, set on health. And here's what I've learned. Take this. You can have it. It's free. Every time your body speaks to you, and your body, how many of you know your body will speak to you? Yes. Yesterday, I don't know what it, I think I pulled a, I was picking up bags of sand yesterday trying to clear the parking lot. I didn't notice, but I put something up and then I drove home. I could hardly move back. I mean, literally just stand up. And I got up this morning. I literally, every time I stood up, I was up about 6, 7 this morning standing up. And part of me was going, oh, I'm going to have a dreadful day and I can't preach and I'll just be sitting down during worship. And like, no! Come on, Satan loves to shut you down. And my point is, keep that thermometer. It's not denying what's happening in your body, but when your body speaks to you, speak back to it. And here's what I've learned. Well, I'll finish with this, but every time my body says one thing to me, I'll hit it back with 5. If I'm walking, oh, must be getting older. No. If your body speaks to you, here's what I'll do. I hold my hand up and say, I am the Lord who heals you. Exodus 15:26. I will take sickness away from the midst of you, the number of your days I will fulfill. Exodus 23:25. His word is life to those who find it and health to all their flesh. Proverbs 4:20-22. Himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Matthew 8:17. By his stripes we are healed. I'll just pick 5 verses. That's what I have. And it's like, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Devil, for reminding me of the health I'm now in. Yeah? If every time you're body speaks to you, you speak back louder, clearer, stronger, and reinforce that. And come on, I want to wrap this up, but my point to you is not like, believe in Jesus and you'll never be sick, you'll never have a pain. Like, let's be real, you will. But let's believe him for that health. And let's believe him that we live in his health and that every time we touch somebody, they catch what we've got. That health flows in us. Flows out of us, that it's contagious, that we have a contagious disease called the life of Jesus. Yeah. Once years ago, I was preaching in a Bible school in India, and a leper came and knocked at the door, and I'd never seen a leper. I don't have a lot of them in Europe, and I went to say hello to this leper outside of this Bible school, and I had some money, and I gave him some money, and I was trying to talk to this guy. He didn't understand a word of my English or French. I didn't understand him. And Have you ever just tried to communicate and you're getting nowhere? And I suddenly felt the love of God well up in me. And I took this guy, and I knew it was like a little awkward, but I just gave this leper a great big hug. And I started hugging him. And he was a bit shorter than me, and he had his head on my shoulders, and he started sobbing. So I just hugged this guy for about 5 minutes. And he was just sobbing and sobbing. And I don't know if it was the Lord or just me. It sort of hit me. Probably nobody's hugged him for years. Everywhere he goes, unclean, unclean. And the guy just sobbed and sobbed and sobbed. And then in the end, he composed himself, and we sort of said goodbye, and he went his way. Came back 3 days later, completely healed with a certificate. That's a true story. And I was like really happy for him, but I remember like in my heart going like, Lord, how did that work? Did I take authority of the spirit of leprosy, bind it? Was the anointing? My faith, the ministry of hug? I went up to my room and I was like, Lord, what happened? And the Lord simply said, oh, he caught what you got. Wow. Come on, the resurrection life of Jesus was greater than leprosy. Yeah. So I want to pray that today. Here's what I want to do. I'd love to pray and by faith, let's step into the health that Jesus bought and paid for every one of us. We're not denying something. If you're in the room and you need healing, I encourage you to come forward and get some prayer. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. There's faith in this room for sicknesses to be healed, big things, small things. But I want to encourage you, let's step into a place of health. Can we do that today? Come on, stand up with me if you will. Father God, we just thank you. I thank you that you so loved the world, you sent your only begotten Son. And Lord, I thank you for what you went through. We can't even begin to comprehend what you suffered and walked through on the cross of Calvary, and you did it on our behalf. And Father, I pray you'll forgive us when we take for granted or we miss or we fail to appropriate all the things that you bought and paid for, all the good things that have our name on us, and we try our best to muddle through in our own strength. And Lord, today, just for this body gathered here, or even those who would watch later online, Lord, I just proclaim the health of Jesus over every body here. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we tell every pain, every sickness, every infirmity, every afflicting thing to go in the name of the Lord Jesus now. And I just proclaim health over every person. And Father, we by faith set the dial, set the thermometer, the thermostat of our faith on the health of Jesus. We believe you for a good, healthy body. The Lord for the body and the body for the Lord. Glorify God in your bodies, which are his. You are not your own. You've been bought with a price. And Father, I pray we'll wake up every day and not check our bodies to see how we are, but check your word to see if it's changed. And I thank you, heaven and earth will pass away. Your word will never change. Lord, I thank you as that leper came to you and said, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. You say to every person in this room, I am willing. Be clean, be healed, be free. And Lord, we just proclaim glorious supernatural health of every life here. We believe we receive that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Now, again, if you're here and you need some prayer, you know, there's nothing wrong with believing for health and then getting somebody, hey, pray for me. Help me step into the reality that I've received in my faith. Help me manifest that in my body. So if you're here and you need some prayer, I encourage you to come forward in a moment. We will do that. So, Lord, I just speak a blessing over everybody here. Let us have a wonderful week. Let us walk in the truth this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, we have food downstairs, and in about 10 minutes, I'm going to do just a quick gathering for that men's meeting project. If you need a touch from the Lord in any way, come on down.